This is Brian Reynolds, County Library Director for San Luis Obispo County, and I'd like to welcome you to this version of Issues and Ideas, a monthly program that library staff conduct on emerging trends and social issues of the day. Today, we're going to talk about e-content, in particular e-books, electronic books, which, unless you're in a cave or asleep somewhere, you know, are really, really popular and growing by leaps and bounds. The number of Americans that own tablet computers or ebook reading devices and smartphones has increased exponentially, so that the percentage of adults who report that they've actually read an ebook in the past year is in the range of 21%. And they're reading about 24 books per year, more than people who just read the physical books. So that's a pretty amazing number, and it's growing, again, as I said a minute ago, by leaps and bounds. Joining me today is Christine Tardif, Library Manager for the City County Library.
Good afternoon.
And Will McCabe from the Mac Superstore, and Nora Picucci, Barnes & Noble, and Dale Bystrom from Staples. We're very glad you're here, and I would just observe that it isn't all that common for libraries to sit at the same table with vendors, but we're very glad that that's happening, and I think our listeners will realize why we're here, because it's all a group effort, and it's very important that libraries and vendors work together, including the publishers that are not in the room today. So let's talk a little bit about e-books. Who would like to maybe give me a definition of an e-book?
This is Nora, and I would say that an ebook is anything that is a digital content of text. They can come in an EPUB format. They can come in an Adobe DRM, various different file sizes.
Would you say, Nora, that actual content shows up in different ways, software-wise, but also hardware? There's several brands of readers.
Very much so, yes. There is at least 4 to 5 different readers on the market right now, all of which read EPUB titles and have various other features.
How about this question for the group? What would be the relative advantages or disadvantages of using an e-reader versus, say, a smart tablet?
Well, basically, most of your readers that are people that are e-readers that are using like the Kindle Fire, the Nook, they're basically using it for reading. They have added some new features in the new Kindle Fire HD that just came out that incorporates some of the tablet features like a camera, so you can go through and take pictures with your Kindle Fire now. But basically, they're usually reading magazines or books, you know, for entertainment and rather than surfing the net so much. And that's more what tablet users will use.
Yeah, that makes sense. Will, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the straight e-reader is going to be for the folks that are just wanting to use it for reading, possibly have a portable laptop, a small laptop device already, and they just want something small to be able to read with and travel with.
The other big distinction, of course, is like e-ink machines versus tablet machines that are backlit. The e-ink market is still catering to those that are just looking for books, magazines, newspapers, and they like the fact that it's crisp and clean and not a backlit device such as their laptop or their netbook or their iPad, et cetera, or even our tablets.
I would think that would be a huge difference if you were reading, say, for an hour, a sustained reading, versus, say, just looking something up. That would make a big difference.
Yeah, they do say that the e-ink machines are the black and white, if we're talking about, you know, the original Kindles or Nook Simple Touch. They say they're much more comfortable for people to read on because of the lack of glare. People wear glasses or people who, you know, work on a computer all day long.
I'd like to ask sort of a broad question now. I'm going to start with Christine, but I want to then go to you all, the vendors. Christine, how would you say that the e-book has changed our business in the public library world?
Well, I think it's interesting that most people don't realize that 3/4 of all public libraries in this country offer e-books, digital audiobooks, including the Black Gold Library Consortium, which we are a member, San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara County. We make probably 11,000 titles available for an ebook and digital audiobook content. So I think how it's affected our business is it's a book. I mean, we still serve our customers the same way that we would if they were asking for a print content or e-content. I think how it's affected us is that we are having a lot more customers ask us questions that we are having to learn this technology, where for a long time, the most recent technology was the internet, and that was 20 years ago. So I think we really have had to beef up our skills. And that's why we have Will, Nora, and Dale here today, is because for our all-staff training day, the county all-staff training day next Friday, the three of them and some of their colleagues are coming to offer all of the county library staff training on these devices. And then subsequently, then we will be offering trainings to our customers, the public, on how to use these devices, because we get a lot of people coming in asking us, how do I download from the library website? How do I download these books? How do I get this content on my iPod? Or what's the difference between WMA content and iPod and MP3? We get a lot of questions that for a long time libraries just weren't, you know, that's new technology. This is just so new that we've really had to answer the call of our customers. And while we are very innovative and very technologically oriented, and we still have a little catching up to do. And I think it's wonderful that the businesses have been helping us get up to a level where we can offer these workshops to our customers who come in on a daily basis.
Will, Nora, Dale, what would you say the ebook has done to your businesses? How has it changed?
Well, I think for us, with our specialty being the iPad, you know, we have customers that are after just the book part of the technology, and then we have customers that are after the rest of the technology. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing, you know, about this particular device is, you know, it incorporates the applications for the other devices as well. To me, the great thing about the OverDrive application working with the public library system is that it actually, at least for my personal family, has increased the awareness of the library and what the library offers. There's been a few books that my wife will go on with my kids to see if we can get it on there just because it's convenient. And we're at the point now where when she does that, my 7-year-old says, "Mom, can we just go down to the library and the book will be there?" So it's actually, even though it's fun to read the books in a digital format for the kids, I think it actually has served to kind of increase their awareness and intrigue of actually physically going to the library as well.
We have noticed that as well, that there are people coming into the library again who may not have been there for a while. It's funny that you should mention, we have the Disney online books available, and there we have like 660 of those. So for people who are looking for a quick read for their kids or on the iPad or any device, and we also make available over 35,000 copyright-free books through the Project Gutenberg. So it's not just the 12,000 titles I'd mentioned. It's also another 40,000 through books that are copyright-free. So definitely spur the moment, sharing with your kids, or you know, just the library's not open that day or whatever. You can just jump online, download something, even to your 10-year smartphones. I know that I guess more and more people are relying specifically on their mobile, on their smartphones. And how many people do you see coming in wanting to know how to download their books?
Well, you know, that's one of the great things our customers come into Staples for. They are looking for a reading device where they can travel. A lot of people are traveling nowadays. So one of the great things about the e-books is that they can take it with them and they can download anywhere, really, basically, any book they want to have. They can do movies as well on some of those. So it makes it like instead of carrying a book or two or a couple of movies, everything's right on that reader, and you can just go right to your destination. As you go in, you can read, which is nice. And also the library is probably one of the great things the customers ask is, do you have to buy every single book? And all the people, I'm sure, that we know, you know what? You can get it for free. There's free downloads, so they can get their latest, you know, information that they want to download right from the library. And that's probably one of the big things that the customers thought they had to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. So it's great that the libraries are taking, you know, they take this step and have that accessible to the customers.
Well, travel books are big. In fact, we really have made a point, because people, you know, if you're traveling, you don't want to take a library book. I mean, I hope people still do want to take library books, but there are some people who just don't want to risk it. Maybe they're going somewhere where, you know, they think it might get damaged, or they'll lose the maps that are included. And this is really nice, is that we've been buying a lot more of the e-content for travelers.
Well, makes sense. Nora, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the biggest selling area. One of the biggest selling areas of our store is travel, international travel, and domestic. And, you know, for our readers, it's not just one or two books. It's like a whole suitcase that they would normally bring with them. So with baggage cost fees, you know, having everything in one convenient location, especially with the smartphones, you can do the app on the iPad and, you know, have it all in conjunction with, you know, your Nook on all devices.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing. I'd like to remind our listeners that we're offering issues and ideas, with a host being the County Library. My name is Brian Reynolds. I'm the Library Director. I'm joined by Christine Tardif, who is the library manager for the SLO City Library, City County Library in San Luis Obispo. And we're joined by Will McCabe from the Mac Superstore, Nora Pacucci from Barnes & Noble, and Dale Bystrom from Staples. This is Brian Reynolds for Issues and Ideas, representing the San Luis Obispo County Library, along with Christine Tardif, Library Manager, and Will McCabe from the Mac Superstore, Nora Pacucci from Barnes & Noble, and Dale Bystrom from Staples. At this point, I'm going to tell an anecdote about myself that happened about a year and a half ago. I was in, my wife and I were in Illinois visiting my mother-in-law, and I ran out of books, and I didn't know what to do, because the library books I had brought on the trip, I had read them. And so she had her Nook, and I downloaded Through Black Gold, one of my favorite mystery writers, and I was saved. My vacation was saved.
That's how I feel when I run out of an audiobook in the car. I have to have it right away, so yeah. I have to go back to the library.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to... there's positive addictions in psychology. That's where there's like getting enough sleep or eating right, and reading and exercising your brain is certainly a positive addiction. Any downsides to the technology? I think Christine has mentioned one. There's a need for training. How about any downsides or challenges that you see?
I don't really see any downside as far as, you know, obviously they might not be checking out as many books, but the plus side of that, there's a down and a plus on that. They're going to be coming to you for the e-reader material. As they continue to advance in technology, I think it makes the experience better for the consumer. You know, as you're looking at the screens that they have nowadays, they're just a lot clearer and crisper and easier on your eyes than they were when they first came out. So they're like in the second generations and third generations and of these devices. So that, and then accessibility, because you'll find that things you wouldn't possibly maybe use your device for, it's now accessible right to your, you know, you just pick it up and you're going to access it. The one thing I think on the one hand is growing. People are getting more back into reading.
Yes.
I think if you check statistics, it's going to show that there's more readers now possibly than 20 years ago. And I think that they're, you know, enjoying reading, whether it be a book or through the e-reader system.
Yes. I believe that reading to look up facts is one experience, and it's a good one. But reading for pleasure is even better, because then it's fun and you exercise your imagination a lot more. Any challenges or downsides, Will or Nora, that you see?
Yeah, I think the main one that Christine mentioned is training. You know, one of the ways that we've tried to meet that challenge is not necessarily a downside, but is, you know, offering classes where we can help teach people how to use the devices. We do a number of those types of things, personal training and groups, and kind of seeing the excitement on people's faces when they realize how much you can do with these devices. I think there's a large part of the market that's purchasing these devices somewhat reluctantly because they just feel that's kind of the way the trend is going and they have to kind of get on board at some point. So being able to offer the type of training that will allow them to really enjoy and use it to its full potential is probably the biggest thing.
Do you do any things like that, Nora, or any issues you see in your store?
Yeah, we actually we do walk-in customer service with people's Nooks all day long, every single day. But we do offer a class every Friday night at 7 o'clock that's free as well. So it is. There might be a generational gap going on right now where I've got a lot of customers that are really interested in getting into the technological realm. And we're kind of helping them get there, you know, and letting them know they have kind of a support net with us. You know, from a bookseller standpoint, I've been with Barnes & Noble since 1998. And, you know, troubleshooting books never really happened until about 3 years ago. So that's something that's been a challenge for us and our staff, is kind of rising to the occasion and making sure that, you know, our customers know that we can take care of that as well as whatever physical books they want, you know.
Makes sense. I want to give a plug to Barnes & Noble, because when my wife was trying to learn her Nook, she got somebody online. And he was very patient and very helpful, and it solved her problems right away.
Well, thank you so much.
So even an online experience was wonderful. Christine?
Well, it's interesting. We have some customers who refuse to go into the ebook or digital audiobook realm because they actually feel it's going to hurt libraries, as if they're being loyal to us, and I appreciate that. But actually, our circulation of print materials is not down. We actually, like we mentioned earlier, I think more people are coming to the library. And because we also make e-books available, we make digital audiobooks available. So we're still making this products available that customers want. So for those who feel like they're remaining loyal by coming in and checking out books, and we love that. We want people to continue to come in and check out books. But we make available the formats that people are asking for, and we will continue to do that. That is one of our roles as a public library. So, and we will continue, no matter where technology takes us, we will continue to do that. So, and we just see offering these courses for our and workshops for our public on how to use the devices to access whatever format it might be is one of our roles, and we will continue to do that.
A little known fact of libraries is that in some people's minds, there's competition between them and publishers maybe or bookstores, and it turns out that bookstores and publishers and libraries are all synergistic working together, and I'm sure that's the case with our three vendors today. It's really a complementary thing. It's not competitive. I'd like to ask the group, what trends do you see out there? For example, what age groups are really taking this to heart, or what kinds of themes, fiction versus nonfiction? What do you see out with your customers?
There's a variety. You know, like I said, I'm seeing more with the tablets is probably more the businessmen, the shaker and mover kind of guys and gals that are out there. The e-readers, I feel, are more like people who like to use it for relaxation rather than driving a business or something like that. And so I see a lot more people coming in just to start to relax, use it for relaxing and enjoyment. E-reader thing, like my daughter's in college. Funny thing is she saw a movie. She said, that movie's so good, I'm going to get the book. You know, I mean, so, you know, she went and downloaded it on her tablet so she could read it. And then she says, you know, there's a lot more in there but that's the way it is. You know, they're connecting all the different varieties of entertainment and utilizing that with the readers to enjoy even more than what you might have seen.
Just before we went on air, we were talking about the long tail, and there was some nods about that. Nora, do you remember what we talked about?
Yeah, we talked about how, you know, in the past we'd kind of seen statistics where bestsellers would have a pretty high, you know, beginning readership and then drop off dramatically after that. But what we're finding now is that more people are able to, you know, access content in different ways, and so then those are having a longer tail of readership than they were previously. And we find that all the time, you know. Even, I know you guys mentioned the E.L. James books are getting some great media, but it's all word of mouth. It's stuff that's coming from this e-reader world.
Yeah, the 50 Shades of Grey, I think 10 years ago we might have gotten a little pink in the face, but now we know that it's a top bestseller. What do you see, Matt, in the Mac store by way of trends or age groups?
I think in terms of people that come in interested in the device specifically for the e-reader part of it is probably mostly adults, people that travel that are going to be on the road quite a bit, movers and shakers, as Dale said. You know, people that want to be able to read, you know, they have to go visit their mother-in-law, so they, you know, they don't want to run out of books, you know, is kind of the trend. I think obviously with young people more in the circles that I run in, families with small kids, you know, it's kind of the parents trying to push the book part more on the kids and maybe a little less of the Angry Birds and those types of things. But I mean, I think manufacturers, those things are being incorporated into all the devices. I mean, because they're trying to make the devices good for everybody.
Yeah, Amazon started having commercials. I don't know if you noticed that, but I don't know if Amazon has had commercials before. And there's just so many where they have families sharing and kids discovering. So I think it is becoming, you know, quite a tool, a multimedia tool, like Dale was saying, that, you know, there's movies and there's music and there's books and discovery and games, and it's all in one format.
There might be one small part of the population, too, that has helped with e-readers, but large print readers has been a huge part of our market for e-ink machines because they're super simple. But then, I mean, large print books are extremely expensive. And the fact that you can make any book a large print book with an e-reader is
a boon. We librarians know that e-books and talking books are both really important for people with vision problems, but selection of large print titles historically has been pretty narrow, and so to have it be ubiquitous now is amazing and a good thing. I should say that we do worry in library land about one equity issue, and that is historically with physical books you could access the content with just your eyes. Now you have to be able to afford a machine and know how to use it. So there is a bar there, and I wish there was a way we could make sure everybody had these machines. We probably have read in the newspaper here in San Luis Obispo County that one of the school districts has bought iPads for or smart tablets for all of their students, and I'm sure that's going to be a trend going forward.
Is this the first kind of partnership you've had with a library system or something non-corporate? Because I have to say that in my 5 years here, it's probably not too often that we actually approach companies for training expertise and being on the radio and that type of thing. Do you see this growing, more partnerships like this?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a first for us, and we're really excited about it. We're excited to be able to partner with the library system and help just kind of bring up the level of training so that the people that want access to this technology can have it.
And we have some people come into the library, and their iPad or their Kindle's still in the box, and they say, "Help us!" And we're like, "Okay, so let's unpack it," I think we're probably going to have to send people back to the store. We don't like to do that, but in some cases, we are having to do that.
I think this relationship is great, especially for that reason, where you can feel comfortable now saying, okay, I know someone at Mac Superstore, I know someone at Staples or Barnes & Noble is going to help you.
We're almost out of time, but I just have to ask, did you have any trouble convincing management to allow you to come?
No, not
that's
really.
That's me. So.
We are management. You are
management. I think everybody here, we like to give back to the community and work and make sure that everybody has, a lot of good sponsorship from us as well.
That's fantastic. I'd like to remind our listeners that this has been Brian Reynolds for Issues and Ideas, representing the San Luis Obispo County Library, along with Christine Tardif, Library Manager, and Will McCabe from the Mac Superstore, Nora Pacucci from Barnes & Noble, and Dale Bystrom from Staples. We have spoken today with some vendors from local stores, and now we're going to have the opportunity to talk to two other library staff, Anne-Marie O'Connor, who works in the Arroyo Grande Library, and Kay Rader, who manages the Atascadero Branch Library. Hi, Anne-Marie. Hi, Kay.
Hello.
We're going to start off asking what ebook or digital audiobook you're reading right now. Anne Marie, would you like to start?
Yes. I actually stopped reading this book just this last week. It's called 1Q84 by Harukumi Murakami. And I've done this with several books. I listen to it and I e-read it. So when I'm driving, I like to listen, and then, at night, when I go to sleep, I don't like to fall asleep on a book, so I'll read the book there, and I'll read it in other places as well.
How about you, Kay?
Well, I'm reading on my Nook a book entitled Sleeping with the Enemy, Coco Chanel's Secret War by Hal Vaughn. It was really very well reviewed by Kirkus and the Washington Post and many other sources, and actually I knew the author in Paris when I was working there. This is a fantastic history of the occupation during World War II, and it's a little bit of a different slant on Coco Chanel's life in that, although it covers her entire life, it focuses on that period of time during the occupation, which is still so controversial in French history.
Right. I know that there was people on both sides of that fence.
Right.
We don't have a lot of time today,
okay,
I'd like to ask you how long you've been reading or listening to e-books, and what you see as a couple of the advantages or disadvantages. Anne-Marie?
I've probably been doing it for 2 years, first on my iPhone, uploading audiobooks onto my iPhone. And I got a Kindle app, but the format was a little too small to really be enjoyable. But I won a iPad for $10, a raffle drawing, and so I've been using that for a year. And the advantages, Well, I actually still like the paper or tree-based book better in a lot of ways. It's got a flippability that I don't think the e-reader can duplicate. And I miss the author photos and bios and book jacket reviews.
Yeah, understood.
But in terms of fiction, I think the e-reader's fine. When you want to look at pictures and graphics and things like that, you know, the tree-based book far outstrips the electronic right now. And I'm sure that's a matter of cost, of both the device being able to carry large files and, you know, what the publishers will charge to present such intricate photographs and diagrams.
Yeah, that's one of the issues, price and or price point for those publishers. Go
when
ahead.
I'm carrying my iPad, I'm not just carrying an iPad. I'm carrying several books, my email, my internet, PDF files, movies, TV, radio, yoga routines. I mean, I could go on and on,
right.
I'm carrying when I'm just carrying an iPad.
I think when I was a kid, they had the four-way tool. This is probably the 40-way tool.
Oh, yeah.
We're just about out of time, and so I would like to remind our listeners that I am Brian Reynolds, the Library Director for San Luis Obispo County Library. We've been joined by Christine Tardif, Library Manager at the San Luis Obispo City County Library. And we've been talking to two of our staff, Anne-Marie O'Connor and Kay Rader, about their experiences with e-books. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.